Good to see you. Glad you're here. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. We continue our study. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. We're watching as the children of Israel are going in and receiving God's gift of their promised land. Today we begin. They're camped on the bank of the Jordan River. They're almost ready to go across the river. And the title of the message is Prepare for the Work, or Being Prepared for the Work. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read Joshua chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. All right? Once again, I know you're tired of sitting, so stand, please. Verse 1 says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove. They came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.' And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.' So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will drive out, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites.'" Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, that you've given us to be here today. I thank you for every individual that is present. And Father, we commend this service into your hands. I pray that you will speak to everyone present through your word. And Lord, speak with power. Convict of sin. Draw all men to you. Give us hearts to respond to your leading. That when this service today is over, we will know we have been in the presence of the Lord, and that the Lord's will be done. I pray for those in this service who are lost. I pray that today's the day they'll come to you for salvation. I pray for those who are hurting, those who are discouraged, those, Lord, who just feel beat up today from life itself. Father, provide in your mercy and in your grace the care and the comfort that each individual needs. And we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if we were to read the rest of this chapter, we stop short of this, but the remainder of this chapter is basically how Israel crosses the Jordan River. Okay? And what's going to happen, if you go ahead and read, I'd encourage you to, maybe later when you get home, but what's going to happen is God's going to stop one end of it, and the water's going to heap up in the Jordan River, and the rest of the water is going to pass down, and Israel is going to walk across on dry ground. However, if you will notice, that actual event is the shortest part of this chapter. I mean, God dries up the water, they walk across, right? But if you'll notice, most of this chapter is spent preparing Israel for that event to happen. And that's why the the title of the message, Prepare for the Work. If you'll notice, and just stop and think, God has to work in people before He can work through people. Does it make sense? He's got to change hearts. He's got to set minds. He's got to convict. He's got to draw. He's got to do an inside work before the big things happen on the outside. And that's what's going on in the text that we read just a moment ago. And they're going to give you four things today that God does to prepare us for the work at hand. Number one, you got to watch God. When God moves, you move. Okay, does that make sense? Man, following God is not rocket science. It does not take a scriptural wizard or someone who's extremely knowledgeable about Scripture, and you don't have to figure out what has God got for me in my life. And the reason I say that is because I've counseled with so many people who say, Doug, Brother Doug, I know that God has something for me, and I just don't know what it is, and I've been praying and praying. Now listen, you've been wasting a lot of time. Here's what you do. Do you want to follow God? All right. The rest of you, you can go follow whatever you want to. So I'm going to tell you, right? Here's how you follow God. Look at what God's doing and get on board with it. It's not hard. You look at what God's doing and get on board. And that was the idea when He told Israel, follow the ark. Watch the ark. See, the ark of the covenant was, of course, the covenant that God had with Israel. And it represented God's presence among His people. So when they watched the ark and the ark moves, carried by the priests and the Levites, they were just going to follow it. When God moved, Israel moved. You have to understand. We say that Christ is the head of the church, right? I want you to understand today that churches are not pastor-led. That churches are not deacon-led. Churches are not even committee-led. Churches should always be God-led by Jesus Christ Himself. And, you know, quite frankly, as I said before, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what God has for us. When what we need to do is basically open our eyes and look at where we are. For example, if you are a parent, how many parents do we have? Look at where you are. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition, and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what God is doing. He gave you kids, right? Raise them. Teach them about Jesus. Train them up in the Lord. It's not hard. Has God given you a good church? Oh, come on. Has God given you a good church? Then get involved in your church. Be a part of the church. Come to church, right? Before you can get involved, you got to come. I'm just saying, right? But it's pretty obvious. All you have to do is just open your eyes and look where God is working. The only way we at Victory can move forward is to watch God. I'm not this big plan guy. You know, I just like to look at what God's doing and feel really blessed to be a part of it. That's all we have to do. So number one, if we're going to follow God as a church, we got to move when God moves. Second thing, if you'll notice, He said, sanctify yourselves. Verse 5. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know what that word sanctify means? It's one of those religious words that's used a lot that few people really know what it means. Sanctify, it means to set apart for a specific purpose. So when we apply it to God's work, it's to be set apart, to be used by God for the glory of God. When He says, what he's telling Israel, sanctify yourself. He's saying, okay, set yourself apart. You're going to be used by God for the glory of God. Make sense? Then say amen. Boy, y'all are slow. That concert just kind of wore y'all out, didn't it? It's a great concert, by the way. Thank you, Brother Greg, for all the work you did. Everyone else who was involved. But Israel is on a mission. I'm going to say it again. Israel was on a mission. That mission was to receive the land that God had promised them. Right? To do God's work for the glory of God. And so, the idea is, as Israel goes into the land, and as God works through them, that the goal is that the world see Israel's God and how great their God is. Right? That's the idea of being sanctified. Lord, I want to be used by you for your glory. And so, when Israel crosses that Jordan, and they go and they march around the city of Jericho, and the walls fall down, guess what the world's going to see? The world's going to see the glory of Israel's God, because they're a sanctified people on a mission. When Israel goes and take the city of Ai, guess what the world's going to see? The world's going to see the glory of Israel's God, because they're a sanctified people. When the sun stands, this is one of my favorite stories in the book of Joshua, when the sun stands still over Gibeon, everybody's going to know that's got to be Israel's God, because nobody stops the sun. You can read about it later on if you'll get ahead of me. But I want you to see, the idea is a people who realize, hey, I'm here for the glory of God. And it's just a privilege for God to use me as a tool or an instrument of God. And here's what I want you to get. As a believer, you are nothing more and nothing less than a tool in the toolbox of God to be used for the glory of God. Right? Have you ever seen someone use a hammer that knew how to use it? Had a carpenter tell me one time, we were involved in a building program at a church that I was pastoring, and it was one of those do-it-yourself projects. And so we were doing this building project, and I got in there and was hammering nails, and I'd hit it about three times. One, two, three, and on that third one, that nail would just go whop. And I'd tap it and starting it again, it just bend back over. Finally, I had it such a mess, I'd have to pull it out, pull the nail out. Anyway, one of the guys that was leading the group, he was a carpenter. And he said, Brother Doug, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you need to stick to preaching, because you are not a carpenter. I said, gotcha. I'm a tool, I'm a preacher, right? You see, here's what you've got to understand. We're all different tools, but we're here for the same purpose. And that is to bring glory to God. If you are a carpenter, you are not a carpenter to build houses. You are a carpenter to build houses for the glory of God. If you are a school teacher, you're not there to take care of students. You are there to take care of students for the glory of God. See, here's the idea to sanctification. I'm here, I have a purpose, I'm on a mission, and my mission is the glory of God. That's what we're about. And that's the way that we should live, with that mentality. If you work at the nuclear plant, the Tyson, Firestone, it doesn't matter. You're not there to be an employee. You're there to be an employee for the glory of God. Isn't that neat how that works? You are a tool in the toolbox of God that God has placed right where you are so that you can be used for His glory right where you are. But you got to sanctify yourself. You see, that means set apart for that purpose, and you have to understand, we're not here just to live in the world. You know, we are here to make a difference. We're here to reach people for Jesus Christ. We are here to help those in need. We are here so the world can see the glory of our great God. That's why we have to set ourselves apart and remember, hey, I'm here and I'm on a mission. Number three, follow the leader. Verse 8. You shall command... I'm sorry, that's not right. It's verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Oh, listen, this is the good part. You know you're supposed to follow your leaders, right? You know you're supposed to follow your leaders, right? That was Israel's responsibility too. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, here's what you need to understand about what I'm going to do today when I dry up the waters of the Jordan River. I'm going to begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel. That word begin, you know what it means? Just what it says. It's the first step in a process of actions, right? It's the first step as you move in a direction. So God says, we're going to start, second word, exalting. That word exalting doesn't mean to make, it's not that God says, man, I'm going to make you a big shot among Israel. That's not what that word means. Literally in the Hebrew, it means to grow. God says, Joshua, today I will begin to grow you in the sight of Israel. Do you know that leaders are grown? You know, as a leader, you have to take the time to let God work through you and let others see God working through you. And as God works through you and others see God working through you, their confidence in you grows and their willingness to follow you grows. Okay? See, a lot of people don't understand that's the idea of leadership. You know, when a pastor first goes to a church, everybody doesn't just all of a sudden fall down at his feet and say, wow, we just know you're the greatest leader ever. No, after time, and they see that pastor, they see they can trust that pastor, then they begin to have confidence in that pastor. Works the same way with everybody, and it worked the same way with Joshua. When God said, Joshua, I'm going to start to grow you up in the eyes of Israel today. And everything that happens, Israel will get a little more faith, a little more faith, a little more faith in their leader. Here's what I want you to get, okay? Leaders are grown over time. And God's work has been plagued with people who do not stand the test of time. Therefore, they never come to be leaders. Okay? Pastors are the world's worst. I keep seeing today that thousands of pastors are quitting the ministry. And listen, I know the ministry's hard, right? But every time you turn around, thousands of pastors are getting out of the ministry. Why? Because it's hard. Listen, if you're a pastor or listening on the internet, there is no room for quitters in God's work. What makes you think you're any different than Moses? Okay? We think these guys in the Bible, like Moses and Joshua, they never had a bad day. Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. I want you to understand, every pastor, it crosses their mind, man, I've had enough of this. I want to quit. Right? But you have to have enough stick-to-itiveness to stay with what you do, to stay with God's call through the duration, because your faithfulness has an effect on everybody else. Tell you what I hate to see. Hate to see pastors that go to a church for 2 or 3 years, then leave and go somewhere else for 2 or 3 years, then leave and go somewhere else for 2 or 3 years. I guess I'm preaching to preachers for the moment, right? Here's why I hate to see that. A pastor will go there for 2 or 3 years, and they'll get new folks in for 2 or 3 years. And when that pastor leaves, guess where those new folks go? They leave too. Never there long enough to establish himself as the leader and let the people see God work through that man. Right? I want you to know, even our church staff, and I encourage, and anybody we add in the future, I will encourage you, come to Victory with the idea that you're going to be here for the rest of your life. Because ministries are built. You're not elected to a ministry. And it requires time to build a ministry. And that time will involve God working through you. You know, I've been here 12 years. I'm just getting started. Really am. I'm more excited today than I was 12 years ago. Right? I hope that's your attitude. Because pastors, it's not only happens to pastors, it happens to church leaders. I know we get tired. Happens to teachers. I know teachers get tired. You study all week and you come to Sunday school and half the class is not there to receive what you've been studying. I know. But don't quit. Don't quit, because every Sunday you're there, you're encouraging somebody. Every Sunday you're there, they see your faithfulness and they want to be faithful like you. But I'll tell you what, when you quit, and listen up, when you quit, somebody else is going to quit with you. I'm going to say that again. When you quit, somebody will quit with you. And I don't want to be responsible for somebody quitting because of me. Before you quit, you understand God called you. He has placed you where you are. And it is your responsibility to stay the course until God, one, calls you somewhere else, or He calls you home. Right? Number 10. Get ready to cross the Jordan, to get ready to do the work of the Lord. You got to trust God. You just got to trust God. You don't have to understand everything. You just have to trust God. Verse 10 says, "And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you." I just love that. By this you shall know. Those are strong words. You know, it's one of those things that carries the idea of conviction. You're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the living God is among you. And see, they need to know that before they go, before they enter into the promised land, they have to know that God is among them, because crossing the Jordan River is a small thing compared to the other things they're going to face. Right? And so as they cross this Jordan River, they're going to see the power of God build an invisible dam that holds the water on the upper side of the Jordan, and then they're going to watch the rest of that water just flow on downstream. And that ground, you see, it was rainy season, so there was water everywhere, all in the valley and the fields. It was all covered with water. And God, just as soon as those priests' feet stepped in that water, God dammed that river up, and the water left, and Israel crossed over, listen, on dry ground. I don't believe they needed muck boots. I don't believe they got their feet wet. They crossed on dry ground because God did it, and He did it right. Here's the thing. When God does something awesome, you better hang on to it, because you're going to need it again in the future. You see, when after Israel crosses the Jordan River, first place they go is Jericho. And when they arrive at Jericho, they see these fortified walls, that there is no way that these people can get into that city. And so they're going to have to rely 100% upon the power of their God. they needed to see a display of that power before they got to Jericho. Right? So they know when they get to Jericho that God's going to act on their behalf again. And He can act on their behalf. Here's the deal, and the application for you and I. We must never forget what God has done in the past so that we can face the future with faith and not fear. Okay? Must never forget, you know, never think that God did this great thing and that brought us where we're going. You put that great event that God does in your mind and in your heart, because you're going to face another great mountain a little bit later on, and you're going to have to say, oh, God can move this mountain because I remember when He moved that one back there. See, that's the difference in churches. You want a growing church? A growing church is not afraid. They just know if God leads them in a direction, they're ready to go. Are you ready to go? Come on. Are you ready to go? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything? I'll be honest with you. I'm at the point in life right now that I just want to follow God. I don't care where He goes. I just want to follow God because I think it's really, really cool to see God work. And you watch God get in the church and you watch Him change lives. I mean, just consider. Let's just stop and let's do a history lesson in Victory. You remember, some of you still remember when Victory first met. Met in a restaurant over here. A little bit different now, isn't it? Has it different? Well, for one thing, Victory has a building. And there's been a lot of souls saved through the process of time. There's been a lot of marriages saved through the process of time. There's been a lot of families that have been delivered out of despair through the process of time and the ministries of Victory. What I want you to get today is look back and see where we've come from to where we are today and realize God's not done. We've just crossed the Jordan. Now we're ready to go and get serious and see the power of God. We're not done. God's not done. What has God brought you through as an individual? You may be here today, you're afraid. You're beat up. You're beat down. I want to remind you of something. If you've been a believer for any time at all, this is not your first rodeo, right? You've seen God deliver you before. You can expect God to do in the future what He's done in the past. I'm going to say that again. You can expect God to do in the future what He's done in the past. Trust Him. Trust Him. Listen. I was sharing with Brother Greg the other day. I think Victory's at a very crucial place right now. I think we're in a I think we're kind of on the banks of the Jordan River, and God's got some great things in store. I think God's people have got to get the mindset of it's time to go. It's time to go. Time to move forward. God's moving. How do you know, Brother Doug, God's moving? Did you know we had additions Wednesday night? Glory to God. We had people come for church membership Wednesday night. That's good stuff. I've been talking to people all week about joining the church. Seen people saved this week. I mean, they're just great things going on. Look around. When God moves, you move. I see people doing different things. New things. Willing to do new things. I'll tell you, again, concert last night was wonderful. I appreciate Brother Greg and everybody who worked on that. But you know, man, those guys can sing. They can just sing. They were a blessing. And if you missed that, you missed a blessing. But you know what? What encouraged me about that concert?
Victory was willing to do it. Victory was willing to say, okay, let's have some gospel singing come in and be an encouragement to our community. And I tell you what, there were a lot of people, non-members of Victory, that were here last night. Victory made an impression. And it was a good impression. It was an outreach. It was a great concert. But see, people had to be willing to start. And I appreciate that willingness. When Israel goes across the Jordan River, there's no turning back. When God dries up that river, they march across, there's no turning back. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, here's the deal. You've got to decide today, okay? I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to bring glory to God. I'm here so the world can see how great my God is. Right? That's why you're here. Now, today I'm going to ask you to make a personal commitment to that end. That God, my life is your life. You lead me wherever you want me to go. You get me to do whatever you want me to do. Lord, it's my goal. I am yours to command. Here am I, send me. Sanctification. I want you to trust your leaders. Right? But I also want you leaders to have enough stick-to-itiveness about us. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the other pastors of this church. I'm talking about teachers. I'm talking about those who've been around a while. I want us to have enough stick-to-itiveness about us that people see us lead and know, hey, short of God calling us home, we're going to be here tomorrow serving the Lord. And the day after that, serving the Lord. And the day after that, serving the Lord. And then finally, I want everybody to make a commitment today that, Lord, I trust you enough to go wherever you lead. Wherever you lead. Now remember how we started? How do you figure out what God's doing? What God wants you to do? Look at what He's doing. Pretty simple. Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. One more thing. And that's for those who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ died for you so that you could have eternal life. Right? He gave His life so that you could have a personal relationship with Him. The Son of God. The Savior. Jesus Christ. But listen. Everybody doesn't go to heaven. Heaven's not automatic. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. Have you made Jesus your Savior today? Have you called upon Him for salvation? If not, let me tell you, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Jesus is heaven. Anything else is hell. If you are trying to earn your way to heaven, you're not going. If you're trusting church membership to get you into heaven, you're not going. If you're trusting anything, preachers, religion, you're not going. It's Jesus Christ, period. Do you know Him? We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you. Will you please come? Maybe you're here today and you've gotten lax. You've let things fall through the cracks. You can tell your relationship with Jesus is distant. Time to get back on track. Maybe time for a rededication. Altar's open. The invitation calls. Let Jesus have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the example. Lord, we want to be used of You. We want to live as a people on a mission. We want You, Lord, to be glorified by the life that we live. Father, we trust You. That wherever You lead, we want to go. Father, now in this invitation. Now in this invitation. I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.